Hello and welcome to Me, The Wife and Wrexham AFC, a weekly podcast and YouTube channel discussing everything Wrexham from the point of view of long-term fans and brand new fans like my wife. So sit back, put your feet up, relax and let's get stuck in. Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Me, The Wife and Wrexham AFC.
Hello there.
Hello. So this week, Phil Parkinson was named National League Manager of the Season. Well deserved, do you think?
100%, yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Anyone? Could have gone to a nicer guy.
No.
No. I don't know anyone else who could have gone to. No.
No. No. Well, why would you?
Exactly.
Why should you? Maybe.
No one.
No, I wasn't going to say anyone deserved it, but I'm sure there were maybe one other that might have been in the running for it. But I do think it's very hard to give it to any other manager, isn't it? Other than the manager of a team who ended up champions on 111 points, which is an all-time record for
we're
professional.
Record breakers.
I think it's quite difficult to give it to anybody else.
I guess.
It?
Yeah. Yes, but so, it went deservedly to our manager.
It did indeed. So well done, Phil.
Well done, Phil.
We know you listen. So just a couple of other things before we get into it. The autism-friendly half-term football sessions are back. So this for secondary school kids, it's on Tuesday the 30th between 2 and 3 p.m. Primary school children, it is Wednesday the 31st between 2 and 3 p.m. They're completely free of charge. Wanted to give it a shout out on here. If you have a child who wants to attend these, all you've got to do is email kerry.evans@wrexhamafc.co.uk and Kerry will sort all that out for you.
Yep.
The half-term soccer schools are also open.
Yep.
Well, they're not
open yet because it's not after.
No, it's not. No,
you can book your slot
I'm
now.
I'm telling people about them, aren't I? But yeah, you can book your slot. They have already been released last week. What you need to do is head over to the Wrexham AFC website and the full details of that are on there. And then you can book your child on one of them places as well.
Yep.
So this week, the lads went to Vegas.
Lads.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, Caitlin was there a couple of days, so...
Yeah.
So it was lads, plus a girl.
Plus one, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about... how do I put
this? How would I feel if you went to Las Vegas on your own with a bunch of lads?
Yeah.
Not
happy.
Not that I wouldn't be happy, because they deserved it, to be fair. They worked hard all season. But I'd be a bit peeved that I wasn't coming with you. Possibly,
yeah, I get that. But I suppose what you've got also, if I went with a bunch of lads, yeah, that's one thing. But these are very well-known professional sportsmen. So they're very much in the public eye constantly. Do you know what I mean? You know, so it's, you know, they can't really get up to much mischief. Can they really?
They would, because they're all good boys.
No, I'm not saying they would, but I'm just saying cameras are constantly in your face, aren't
they? The thing I found bizarre, and kudos to, any mother, but Kelsey had just literally given birth a few days before.
That's what I was going to ask.
And Aaron Hayden, he's just had a new baby.
Yeah.
And James Jones, he's got a new baby. I know
pretty much all of them.
Yeah, but he's been in, the baby's been in hospital. So,
yes.
Yeah.
If I was Jordan Davis, I'm very much not. But if I was,
yeah.
So give birth on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You bring your very first child home on the Wednesday.
Yeah. You fly.
Lads holiday Thursday, is that all right? Is that acceptable?
Well, I heard that Kelsey said to him,
yeah,
if you don't go, I will go in your place.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I think it was...
Well,
I think,
of course you would. You just done 9 months of carrying a child
around. I think obviously all the wives, girlfriends, whatever, are all quite supportive and they know that they deserved the break that they did, but it sounds like it was carnage.
It was, well, they had very royal treatment, I would say. They were sort of VIPs.
Wrexham logo was literally on side everywhere. Of buildings. Yeah. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, nightclubs. They met Steve Aoki. Yeah.
Steve Aoki, but it's Aoki, isn't it?
I don't know, really. But anyway.
He's a DJ.
Yeah. And I think they had an amazing time. I heard Ben Tozer on TalkSport talking about it, and he said it was brilliant, needs a couple of days to recover.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think it's good to have that sort of, you know, the tension during the season must be so big, and to have that sort of release
as well. Yeah.
I think it's really important for them to do that. They've got a couple of weeks off now. So, and it's well deserved.
Well, Elliot Lee's already on another holiday.
Is he?
I saw on I think it was either Instagram or Twitter. I read that Ryan Reynolds said next year they're going on a retreat for 4 days.
A yoga retreat.
Yeah, they're not going to Las Vegas again next year. I think it may have broken Ryan Reynolds' bank account because it was literally no cards for the lads, was it?
No cards required.
No.
No, 100%.
To be in that position, eh?
I tell you what I did see. There was on, I think it was on Instagram story, Jake Hyde's Instagram story, right? And I saw he was on a plane.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, as if he's going. No, he wasn't. He's going somewhere else.
He was going to Dubai.
He was indeed.
He was, yeah.
Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I'm glad Dibble went, though. Did Dibble go? No, not Dibble. Layton. I'm glad he went.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Well, you know.
Yeah, anyway.
Well done to Dibble, by the way. His team, Kidderminster Harriers, are they called?
Yeah, they're in the final of the... Yeah. The playoffs, which is on Sunday, so by the time this comes out, the result will have been. Blah, 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 blah.
So anyway, we're recording it now, but good luck.
Well done, Christian, or maybe commiserations. I'm not sure.
We don't know. Well done
for getting to the final. So another thing I should have mentioned before: Wrexham have launched a football boot appeal. So. For anybody to donate any boots or AstroTurf trainers, it's basically for people who maybe can't afford to buy boots or trainers for their kids.
So expensive.
Yeah, massively so. And I would say what they're trying to avoid is buying boots being an obstacle to the kids actually being able to go out and participate in football. In the local community. So if you've got it used or unwanted, all sizes, children and adults, you can drop them off at the Wrexham Miners Rescue Centre. If you don't know where that is, let us know and we'll tell you where it is, or you can Google it. It's up to you. One last thing from this week. We saw Paul Mullin on Soccer AM.
We did.
Which is odd, wasn't it?
It was a bit bizarre. Like, I was upstairs cleaning and they were like, Sean, come downstairs. Look at this. And I was like, oh, okay. And there he was.
Yeah.
He looked, I felt for him because I'm not sure. Because obviously, you know, Wrexham were a National League team. We're not anymore, obviously, but we were. So it's not like we're a hype. Oh, well, we are now, obviously. But, you know, previously.
We're not this. Oh, yeah, but we are.
Do you know what I mean? No, we weren't originally high profile. But now, so it must be awkward for like the likes of Paul Mullen and stuff like that. I think they're quite comfortable on interviews talking after a game.
Well, interestingly, I thought he looked a little bit uncomfortable on Soccer AM. He seemed fine when he was playing football and stuff like that.
Exactly, because that's what he knows.
That's what he knows. He seemed a little bit uncomfortable. Although...
He came across really
We're going to talk about the playoffs in a second. He was on the playoff final on the sort of pundit panel, whatever, with Aaron McLean. And he seemed really comfortable doing that. Because he
looked
just
so smart as well. That's such a mum thing to say, isn't it?
He was talking about football. And so he felt more comfortable. I know Soccer AM, you're talking about football, but he's sort of talking about himself playing football, which I don't think he's always completely comfortable about. He seems quite private. So I think he's more comfortable talking about other people playing football, maybe not necessarily
He did say on Soccer AM, actually, that, you know, he loves obviously speaking to the children and whoever wants autographs and stuff like that. He said, but when you're out and about
in the shops,
he said he does get a bit embarrassed because obviously, you know, it's like, oh, someone's asking for my autograph, and I'm just walking around the shops. It's, you know, I can see where he's coming from, but you know, you're the big boy now, Mullen.
He's a big boy now.
No, he's the big boy, not the big boy.
So I touched on the playoffs, just to wrap it up for everybody, because we didn't really have time to talk about it last week. So quick rundown for everybody who isn't aware. So we had the quarterfinals, or the eliminator round, the other week, and that was Barnet against Borehamwood. Borehamwood won that 2-1.
Well done.
And Woking and Bromley, and Bromley won that 2-1. So they went into the semi-finals. So Borehamwood played Notts County at Notts County, and they lost that 3-2 after extra time. Borehamwood were actually 2-0 up in that game. We actually thought they were going to go on and do it, but they didn't. Notts County came back, won that 3-2 after extra time. And the other semi-final was Chesterfield against Bromley.
Yeah.
Again, Chesterfield won that 3-2, and that was after extra time as well. Oddly, the two quarterfinals finished the same result, and the two semi-finals finished the same result. So the final was on Saturday. So that was Notts County against Chesterfield. So the game finished 1-1 after 90 minutes. Notts County scored quite a late equaliser. And then it went into extra time. Chesterfield went 2-1 up. And again, Notts County pulled it back to 2-2. It went to penalties, and Notts County won on penalties. So Notts County will be joining us in League Two next season. That's the long and short of it, which is why I've done that rundown. They are the ones that are going to be joining us in League Two.
I think, as much as it pains me to say, I think if anybody else had won the playoffs, it would have been a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a Notts County fan, obviously, but credit where credit's due. They played an amazing season, and it would have been...
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Right. It's the right result. Notts County, you know, the fact that there's only one automatic promotion place in the National League is terrible. And for a team to finish on 107 points and potentially not be promoted and be stuck in the same league next season, that's awful. So, you know, for the neutral, it is the right result. Mm-hmm. That a team who've done that well actually end up getting promoted. But
I am gutted we're playing them again next season.
That's the question. Did you sort of have this sort of feeling? It's the right thing. But did you want someone else to go up? Because you think, I don't want to play them again because of, you know, what were your feelings on it?
My feelings?
Yeah.
I think I made that pretty clear when we were watching the game yesterday. Yeah. I did, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was cheering for Chesterfield.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, like, yeah, I know they deserved it.
Mm.
But I think that there's a particular person on Twitter who really winds up Wrexham fans.
Yeah.
And I think just because of him, I didn't want them to get promoted. Just so that the smug look on his face could get wiped off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad they did because they deserved it.
It could be... I mean, they're not local to us, Nottingham. It's about... 2.5-3 hours maybe.
Is it?
2.5 hours maybe. Ooh. Anyway, you know, it's 2.5, I'd say. You know, they're not local, but they have become now a rival because of what's happened this season. So for me, I think it's a little bit, it's sort of nice because we could be challenging them for the league next season. As good as we've both been, this could go on. And then we could both go up again. And we could both end up in League One.
Though.
Yeah, but we could both end up in League One. And this could be a rivalry that goes on for years
I've
to
got
come.
A question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think, or you know, despite the fact that they are, Notts County are in the in League Two, like us.
Yeah.
Do you think that the likes of Langstaff and Rodriguez will stick around for League Two? Or do you reckon if they get a good offer from another... you know, a championship team or even a Premier League team, do you think they would say, bye-bye, it's been emotional?
Rodriguez, I think, will definitely stay.
Yeah?
And I think he would have stayed regardless of what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rodriguez is there to stay. And I think the only place Rodriguez will go will be back to Portugal as and when he decides it's time for him to go back home. I think that's,
yeah.
I think so. Langstaff, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what would have happened either way. So if they would have stayed in the National League, I think someone's going to come in for him. And I think somebody is going to test Notts County's resolve. Bearing in mind they're 14 million in debt. If somebody comes in with a half decent offer, I think that's going to test out where they're at. And I think it's going to be
the same for Mullen though.
I don't think so. Not for me. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the only place Mullen's going is maybe like Liverpool, maybe just Liverpool. I don't think he's going anywhere else. And with all due respect to Paul, Liverpool aren't coming in for Paul Mullen. So, I think he's quite set. Langstaff has already made a move. You know, he's been to a couple of, he was at Gateshead. He had no issue with leaving Gateshead as well as he played there, brought them up into the National League. I think he was more than happy to move on. And I think he's more than, will be more than happy to move on now.
I was going to say,
if something bigger comes along.
Do you think he's like the interim, best player? So what I mean by that is he comes in, gets them to their next level,
and then goes
to somebody else, gets them to their next level, yeah. And so on and so on.
Look, he's an excellent finisher, and I think there's a lot of clubs that will be looking at him going, we could do with that.
He's not very creative on the pitch, though, is he?
No, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I said that to my dad yesterday. I was quite proud of myself.
Yeah, no, you're very right. I think, for me, I would always stick with Mullen in the sense of Mullen, if he's not getting chances created for him, Mullen will go and create his own chance. And we saw that against Boreham Wood, for example. Mm-hmm. Langstaff, if he's not getting chances, that's the end of the story.
You don't hear of Langstaff.
He's not getting chances. Yeah. That's it. But when he gets his chance, he's excellent at finishing that chance.
Yeah.
And, one of the best, I would say, especially in the National League and maybe even argue in League Two. But the problem is if he's not getting that service and you haven't got them players who can feed him, then that's when he might disappear in games, which we've seen.
Yeah, a lot of people said in the game yesterday that Bostock carried them all yesterday.
Bostock's excellent.
Mm.
He's an excellent player and he deserves...
What position does he play?
He's a central midfielder. Excellent player. And did hear a little rumour that we were interested in him.
I heard that.
How true that is.
Oh, the rumour mill.
The rumour mill. We will talk about the rumour mill shortly. Okay, so we're going to talk about two other clubs that we're going to face next season. Two interesting ones this week.
Newport County and Walsall?
Yes.
Walsall,
yeah. So the reason I picked Newport County, they're another Welsh club. So the only other Welsh club in League Two next season. So it will be, they're not close to us.
No.
But it will be a Welsh derby. It's a few hours drive for us to get to Newport.
Where is Newport?
South Wales.
Oh, we could go see me on TF.
Not far from Cardiff. Oh.
She doesn't live in Cardiff.
No, she doesn't. So it will be very interesting to play them a Welsh derby, as it were, next season. Excited for that one. I think it'll be a bit nuts, that will. So we'll have to keep an eye on this one. They play in Black and Amber, and they play at Rodney Parade.
Black and Amber?
Yeah. It's like a sort of like an orange with black sleeves.
A sunburnt wasp.
Google it. You'll make your own mind up on that. So
Rodney Parade
has been there for years. One of the oldest grounds in the league. They also they also play rugby there. So the capacity of the crowd is 7,850.
It's not very much, is it?
No, 1,300 of that are allocated to away fans.
We'll sell that 10 times over.
Yeah, yeah. That's again, not massive. They've been in League Two since 2013. Their best finish was fifth when they lost in the playoff final to Morecambe, I want to say. Can't remember.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Fact check.
I think it's Morecambe. I think they lost 1-0 to Morecambe in the playoff final. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
That's a long time to... I know Wrexham are no you know, yeah. we can't criticise anybody for being in the league for, yeah, for a yeah. long time. But for being in this particular league,
yeah.
you'd think that, because yeah. It's not very often that people stay in League Two very long. Have they literally?
They do, like.
Really?
Yeah, they can do, yeah.
I thought League Two was the easiest one to kind of go up in.
Gods, don't have them sort of preconceptions. So they finished on 15th last season on 57 points, very much mid-table. But they've been up there in the past, so you know they're one to look out for. A couple of players who've played there. So Ben Tozer have played there.
Yeah.
For two seasons, he played 62 games for them between 2016 and 2018.
Wow.
Aaron Hayden also played there, although people would be forgiven for forgetting him. He only played four times in 2015. He was on loan there.
Yeah.
From somewhere, maybe. I can't remember.
He definitely came from somewhere.
He was on loan and he played four games there. So that'll be a really interesting game. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to playing Newport. It's good to be playing. When I was growing up, we used to play league games against Cardiff and Swansea, you know, and we were in the same league, and then they pushed on and they're now in like the Championship, and we've languished a little bit in National League. We haven't played a Welsh derby for a while. So exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
So Walsall.
Yes.
They play in red.
They do play in red, yes.
When they come to the race course.
Yeah, they'll play in their away. We'll probably play in our away kit when we play away at them. So anyone who doesn't know, Walsall's sort of Birmingham way-ish, down that way. So they play at the Bescot Stadium. I think it's called something like the Banks Stadium for sponsorship reasons at the moment. I'm not 100% sure, but again, like with Crewe that we mentioned the other week, their ground's called something or other. I can't remember what it is, but everyone knows it as Gresty Road because that's what fans will refer to it as.
Yeah.
Very rarely. Like imagine we sold the naming rights for the race course. Then say it was known as the, Jim's Ice Cream Van Stadium, as an example.
Wow.
We wouldn't call it that. We would call it the race course. Yeah. That's generally why I say that.
So they've got a capacity of 11,300, which is a bit better than Newport County.
A little bit better than us.
Is it Newport County?
Yes.
Yeah. And we can take 2,000 fans away with us.
Yeah, give or take.
We'll sell that.
Yeah, we should do, especially as it's only down the road as well. You know, it's only Birmingham. You know, it's not really far away from us.
Do you have to go
us.
On the Spaghetti Junction?
I'm not sure.
You've never been on Spaghetti Junction.
Haven't you? You probably haven't, not really.
So they've been in League 2 since 2019.
Yeah.
Where they were relegated from League 1, and they were in League 1 for 12 years?
Correct. 100%, yeah. So they finished, I'm not sure where they finished in the league last season. Why don't you move on to players who've played for Walsall while I look that up?
So our very own Anthony Ford played there. He played 78 times for them between 2014 and 2016. And Owen O'Connell, he played for them in 2017, and he was only on loan, and he played 17 games, which is quite good for someone who's on loan. Really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So they finished 16th, Walsall did this season.
Did.
Yeah.
Yep.
On 55 points. So literally, Newport were 15th, Walsall were 16th. So they were there or thereabouts together, pretty much. The most interesting thing about Walsall really is, so Dean Keats.
A lot of people remember this.
Yeah. So Dean Keats, for obviously, sort of long-term Wrexham fans will remember Dean Keats, used to play for Wrexham, managed Wrexham. For anybody who's new to Wrexham, you will know Dean Keats because he was the manager when the documentary started and when Rob and Ryan took over. Now, that was his second spell in charge of Wrexham. The first spell he had in charge, we were pushing for the playoffs. Dean Keats also used to play for Walsall as well. He had two periods at Walsall playing for them. So Dean Keats, we were doing quite well in the league. We were pushing on. We were looking like a good team. And Dean Keats basically dropped us like a stone to go and manage Walsall. And it left us.
Is that because he played for them?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah.
So he felt like he had a.
He played over 200 games for Walsall. But he played a lot of games for us as well. So he dropped us. He went to Walsall.
He dropped his leg like a hot potato.
He did. And then basically that was in 2018. And then that didn't work out for him. And then we took him back.
What?
For the second time. And then that's where you find him in the documentary.
Oh, see, I find it bizarre because, like, I know that Ryan and Rob have only been in charge of, you know, they've owned Wrexham for two years.
Yeah.
But doesn't it feel like, you know, Dean Keats.
Seems like a long
time. It seems like a 19, like early 2000 sort of thing, doesn't it, that he was there? But literally, it was like 2 years ago. It's bizarre.
I know. Anyway, let's move on. There's a little bit of info about some of the teams we're going to play next season. We'll do that every week, as we have done. So we've covered now Tranmere, Crewe, Newport County and Walsall. They're the four we've done, haven't they?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So as we discussed before, we're going to do some fan forums on here. So that will be some Wrexham fans that are going to come on, have a little bit of a chat with us about certain things, which we're really excited about. So the first one of them is today. We've got two people on today. And the first one of them that we've got on the show is Andy. So welcome to Me, the Wife from Wrexham AFC, Andy.
Hi, Ryan and Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all. So all your family, Andy, they're from the sort of Wrexham area. So how long have you been a Wrexham fan?
Yeah, so basically, my granddad and my dad were big Wrexham supporters. So as a child, they took me to the games. My first game, which I remember, was the FC Zurich game.
Oh, wow.
Which we won 2-1. And ever since then, I've been going on and off till now, basically.
I'm not going to ask how long that is, Andy. That would be quite rude of me to ask how long that would be. But
72 for FC Zurich, so that gives 72. You an idea.
So it's definitely something that's sort of in the blood, you'd say.
Yeah. Definitely.
Darren, sorry, I haven't even introduced Darren, have I? So we also have Darren on the show as well. So Darren's from Boston, Massachusetts. So, Darren, when was the first time that you sort of became aware of Wrexham AFC?
Well, thank you. It's good. Obviously, thanks for having me, Ryan and Sean. But so, yeah, I first, you know, I was introduced to Wrexham through the Welcome to Wrexham show. So I didn't get on board really until I would say I started being invested, I would say, in November of last year. Right. I don't know, as you recall, the show kind of ended, the season ended like in mid-October. And at that point, it's like we're sort of on a cliffhanger. What's going to happen with the team? What's going on? And I couldn't wait. Obviously, I had to go in, you know, online and see what's going on with the team. And, you know, are they winning? You know, is their promotion kind of continuing? You know, their road to promotion. And then obviously, I think my first game that I listened to was the Barnett game. That crazy Barnett game, which is a total bonkers game to listen to because it was like listening to a FIFA. So that's when I started.
That's brilliant, Darren. Just something else. What is it like? Now I've sort of got an answer to this in my head, and I'll explain why in a minute. But what's it like supporting a team that you just can't go and watch in real life? You have to sort of rely on streaming and Googling things about it. What's that like as an overseas fan?
I mean, I think that things have changed a lot over the last, I would say, 20 to 30 years in terms of following sports. Now, of course, we're all used to everything streaming. You know, everything streams, everything's online. And so it's the idea of streaming something from Wrexham. It's almost like I could be streaming something from like New York or from, you know, to even my hometown of Boston, you know, because, you know, I don't go to a lot of games here either, you know, even to like baseball games. Although I do note that you're wearing a Yankees hat, Ryan. So I think I think we really need to get you a Red Sox hat. but yeah, I would say it's really no different. I think the thing that I sort of miss out on and I really feel kind of, is that I realized so much of the Wrexham experience is being at the race course.
Yeah.
When you kind of hearing the crowd, I get a sense of it like on the television or online when I watch, but it's nowhere near the same as being there. And I think that even kind of as you kind of talk about your experiences about each individual game, or if Andy were to talk about his experiences of each individual game, You know, there's so many things that tie it all together. You know, his experience with his friends, the game, you know, watching the game and all those kinds of things. And then seeing the particular players and how they played, you know, it's all kind of like, you know, you have this big kind of experience that you're going through. Whereas with me, it's just like, it's somewhat abstract. You're watching it on telly and it's just kind of, you know, it's still a good experience. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still sort of, I'm on the floor kind of rooting them on, you know, but it's not the same. It really is not the same.
The reason I sort of knew what your answer was going to be was because I'm a big NFL fan. So I've been a New York Giants fan since I was 15. So that is 26 years. So I watch all of the games. Not only have I never been to watch the Giants play, I've never even been to New York. So, you know, I know what it's like to watch from afar and, you know, sort of like Monday night football, you know, I've got to be up at 1:15 in the morning to watch, Monday night football, for example. So I sort of had a feeling of what you were going to say that, yeah, it's great. And I watch every single Giants game, but it's just not the same as actually being there. So, yeah, I know how you feel.
So, Andy, we are selling out every single game, as you well know. So it's not just overseas people that can't come, you know, overseas fans that can't come and watch the games because obviously, you know, we're selling out. The Kop's going to add another 5,500 seats. So what do you think? So obviously that's going to be built, but what do you think's next for the ground development after the Kop's been built?
Hopefully we keep getting better and better, getting higher up in the leagues. Attracting more people. Hopefully the documentary will attract more people, even in this country, never mind over in states or wherever. So it'll be great to get those 5,500. I wish we had them now, let's be honest. We can fill it now. But we are where we are, and at least we're moving forward in the right direction. Discussion is, if anybody saw that meeting with the king, sounds like maybe the Wrexham Lager stands next. But as we were saying, we've got to knock those flats down in order to get it. So there's a lot to be done and discussed. But the thing is, while you're winning and you're a good team, you will attract more people. If it starts going the other way, then we may not need it. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we keep carrying on in this direction.
Just a quick another one for you, Andy. Do you think if, let's say, you know, that everything just continues on this upward trajectory and we keep getting better and, you know, we keep either getting promoted or getting to the playoffs and, you know, over the next few years, the train just keeps chugging on. Can you see us staying at the race course long term, or do you see a potential that we might have to ask the difficult question, do we need to move somewhere else?
Oh, I really hope we stay at the race course. I really want to stay there. That's our home. You know, we've had those discussions in the past. I know there were more ulterior motives for moving us in the past rather than we're filling out the ground, etc., which could possibly be the case now. But it is our home.
Yes.
Why would we want to leave our home? We're so close to the centre of Wrexham, near the railway station. Yeah, just get rid of the university if necessary.
Yeah.
Who needs a university?
Yeah, who needs a... Andy, obviously, Notts County won the playoff final yesterday. How do you feel about that? Were you happy it was them? Or were you sort of like half hoping it was somebody else?
I'll let you into a little secret. I actually grew up in Nottingham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when I was a youngster, we only came over to Wrexham every so often to come and visit family over there. So I used to watch Notts County then were in the Premiership or League One as it was then.
Yeah.
And Forest were winning European Cups when I was a child. So I used to go and watch them. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for Notts County. Obviously, I like winding them up on Twitter and things like that, their fans and whatever, but I was quite happy that they went up. They deserved it. I know if it had been the other way and we were in the playoffs, then there's a chance that Notts County have been quite happy for us to not make it. But as I say, I think based on the number of points they got, it wouldn't be an injustice for Chesterfield to gone up, to be honest.
Yeah.
How about you, Darren? Darren.
I would say that I was about 75-25. 75%. I you know, it's, they really deserve to go up. They were so excellent. And, you know, I think it's a crime that they didn't get promoted. It would have been a crime if we didn't get promoted and we were second. It would have been a crime if they didn't get promoted. At the same time, that small 25%, I would say, I would just as soon not have to face them twice next year. And have to try to compete with them for another spot to League One. You know, I would just as soon not have that. But, you know, this is the way it should be. I mean, I think that, you know, in all the banter, I think is good. And, you know, sometimes it's not so good, but I think that generally speaking, it's like, it's a great rivalry. And I think rivalries are, you know, should continue. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think, Darren, that we could go on and win the league at a League Two next season?
Absolutely. With the two automatic promotion spots. I guess your question is, can we win? I mean, I don't know that we necessarily need to, right? So we can just finish second place and still get promoted. So, yeah. I mean, I think the competition will be a lot harder than maybe some of us are thinking right now, because I think that we're all sort of automatically saying, oh yeah, Wrexham's totally going to get promoted again. And I think we will get promoted again, but I don't know. I think next season might be a little bit more tougher than we imagine. I mean, there's lots of big clubs like Bradford and all those in the next division. And, you know, I just kind of hope that, you know, if the club stumbles a little bit at the beginning, that people keep on, you know, pushing them on, because I think that good things will happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Stockport didn't have the greatest start to their League Two sort of season this season. And now they've just missed out on automatic promotion and they're in the playoffs at the moment. So, yeah, I think it's definitely within our, sort of wheelhouse that we could definitely get it done, but we'll just have to wait and see. Andy, similar question for you. If you were to finish this sentence, next season would be a disappointment if, insert your own words here, what would you say?
Well, definitely if we're not at least in the playoff spots. Just to correct Darren quickly, it's three automatic places, not two. So there's even better chance of going up.
Yeah.
directly. So yeah, I would hope that we're in those top seven places. Really, I would hope that we're in the top three, but you know, you never know. Things can happen. We can have injuries, suspensions, whatever, you don't know. No. But hopefully we'll be in those top seven and hopefully we get promoted.
Andy, is there any teams that you're looking forward to watching us play next season, you know, be it at home or planning sort of away trips too? Is there any in particular?
There's quite a few. I think maybe the one that everybody may be looking forward to from a derby point of view, obviously Tranmere and Crewe.
Yeah.
Their local derby is easy to get to. I know Tranmere have got quite a few seats for away supporters. I think I heard you say last time that Crewe don't have so many, but hopefully we could get to that. That'd be great. But I think the one we're really looking forward to is MK Dons.
Yes.
Love to stuff them. Oh yeah, they're going to have loads of seats, so we'll be able to go to them and have a really good way following. It's quite easy down the M1 to get to, basically. Yeah. And they are ones to watch because they spent the second amount highest on players last season and failed miserably. But I think they will really want to put that right. So I think they're going to be one of our main contenders next season, will be MK Dons. But there's a lot of others as well. Doncaster, Notts County, obviously, you're going to be there again. Depending on if Stockport go up. If not, they'll be still around. Bradford, if they don't go up, they're still Bradford. Obviously, they still will finish their game. So there's quite a few teams there. Swindon, always seen as a big team. So once again, good place. But I say the local ones, great Crewe, Tranmere, Walsall as well. That's quite handy.
Yes.
You go past that when you're on the M6. I'd love to go and watch Wrexham there. That's going to happen this season.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's, you know, there's lots of games that we're all looking forward to. Darren, you've just sort of got used to, you know, the National League and all the teams in the National League and some of the players. And then that's all gone away. Do you know much about League Two, or is it just sort of stuff that you've sort of gathered from sort of Google searches and things like that?
Well, it's a mix. I mean, of course, I think it's hard not to know about how, I mean, I had to look up why MK Dons are so hated by everyone. So I'm familiar with that. And as a result, I'm a little bit familiar with AFC Wimbledon. And obviously they used to have Ollie Palmer with them. And so I kind of know those connections, you know, and some of the names are loosely familiar. It's funny when you go on your away days, I find myself having to look at maps to see where everything is, and, yes. You know, how far are you driving? And, you know, because it's really hard, obviously coming from here, it's really hard to know, like, what's, you know, put it in context. But yeah, I think there's a learning curve for me now. I'm trying to, you know,
I'm with you.
Too, and definitely if that's something that you guys can do is like talk a little bit about, you know, some of these teams and their histories. I know, for example, that Gillingham, you know, they have a new owner and that, you know, they're really optimistic now, even though it didn't go so well for them last year. And so it would be great to hear about those kinds of stories to kind of find out, you know, what, you know, who are the players?
Well, as I say, welcome to the show, the both of you. And we'll keep referring back to you and asking you a couple of questions as we go through. We've got a new section on the show called the Rumour Mill. My God, this could be a 2-hour show. I just wanted to talk about the rumours surrounding certain sort of transfers and people who've been named as potentially coming. There's loads been this week, but there's one that I wanted to focus on, and that was Alfie May from Cheltenham.
Now, great name.
Yeah, good. So he scored 20 goals in League One. So he's the fourth top scorer last season. He scored over 20 goals for 2 years in a row. Cheltenham finished 16th, 9 points above the relegation zone. So that's why I think he's already stated that his contract's coming to an end and he's looking for other opportunities.
Is he a free agent?
I'm not sure he will, but maybe he'll have a year left, but I'm not sure. I think his contract's coming to an end. But anyway, he's put himself out there on the market. Cheltenham have resigned themselves to the fact that he's going to leave. He's 29.
Ooh.
He's 30 in July.
It's not old for a footballer, though, is it? Or is it?
For a striker. He's only 5'9" as well. Now, bear in mind...
Only? Is that not very tall?
Not really, no. I mean, bearing in mind, Ollie's 6'5", and Sam is 6'3". So he is short.
How tall is Elliot Lee?
Well, if you look on his Wikipedia page, he says he's 5'10". I don't know who wrote it, but that is an absolute lie. So I'm not sure. There's been interest in Alfie May from other clubs as well, like Millwall, Birmingham, Luton, Huddersfield, all in the Championship. So a step up for him. There's interest from other League One clubs like Derby and Peterborough. Although we're in the mix, and this is the second time his name has come up. When we talk about rumours, what do you think? Do you always think they're just rumours, or do you think there's some truth to these?
I always feel like rumours have stem from somewhere, don't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they're not true, but in the football world... I think there was a rumour. I can't even remember which rumour it was, but that turned out to be true. I can't remember what rumour it was and who was coming to us, but it was, So I think in football terms, I think there's always something.
But we have been linked with so many players.
We have.
But this one, the reason I wanted to talk about this one is it's because this was came about last season and it sort of reared its head again.
Is he really going to go? From what the position he's in now.
Paul Mullin did.
Yeah, but he did that for family reasons.
Yes, but what you've got to bear in mind is, cha-ching, we've got a lot of money. So staying in League One might not be as financially beneficial to him than to drop down a league and come to Wrexham, who may offer him a better financial package than staying where he is.
Where's he from originally?
I'm not sure. Oh, he's from Kent.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm not sure. He's good friends with Ben Tozer, though. Ben Tozer was his captain for a couple of seasons when Ben was at Cheltenham, which I think this helps to fuel the fire when it comes to this. Andy, it'd be interesting to get your point of view on this. Do you think we need another striker?
Good question. Do we need another striker? It really depends on what happens in the next few months, I guess.
Yeah.
Will Paul Mullin stay?
Yeah.
Will somebody from Championship or Premiership come in for him? Who knows? Alfie May is very much similar to Waters and Mullin.
Yeah.
Yes, we could need him. Yeah. Some of these people, though, Barkey's got to do his job, though, isn't he? Because they'll get a bit disillusioned, maybe, if he brings too many good players in and all after the one spot. Because I think he goes for a tall striker, like an Ollie Palmer or a Sam Dolby.
Yeah.
And then he has the smaller strikers next to him, next to them.
Yeah. You
know, Alfie May would be great if we didn't have a Paul Mullin.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Darren, with regards to sort of transfers, do you sort of see any positions in the team that you feel that we might need to sort of strengthen a little bit, or we need to bring some players in?
Well, I think obviously the elephant in the room is really goalie, right? Or goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, I think my bet, obviously, by the time this comes out, we'll know, but my bet is that Foster is going to sign for one more year. But I mean, if he doesn't, then I think that obviously, even if he does sign, we still need another goalkeeper because only Leighton's under contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that that's definite. The other one I have a question about is maybe left wing back, maybe, just because I know that behind Mendy, we have Mitfadzian, but I heard some people say that Mitfadzian may not necessarily, whether he's going to continue with the club.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's just, these are questions that Parkey, I like Mitfadzian, but yeah. I guess that there's a question there, and, you know, when McLennan's out of contract. So, you know, do we need somebody maybe else on the wing? I don't know. I mean, that would be my other question. I think midfield, we're pretty set, especially with what we have. But I guess, you know, I think my sort of thought as well is that because we're going to actually have to deal with the transfer window now, we can't just, you know, like when you're in the National League, just acquire players along the way if we needed them. We actually have to get everything that we have that we take out of the transfer window. That's what we are going to have to deal with. Those are the players that we're going to have for the next several months. And so I feel like, you know, Parkey's going to have to kind of keep that in mind and prepare, probably, and we're probably going to have more depth than maybe we need in some positions just because of that.
So I've got a question for you, Darren. As obviously I'm a new fan, and I get very, very attached to players. For example, Luke Young. I was devastated when he wasn't starting up, and I'm devastated to the thought of him not, you know, being in the team next season. Are you more of a realist, or do you like me get attached to players?
Oh, I absolutely am. I like to think of myself as a realist, but you know, I can't. You know, I have a heart, and you know, it's just, and players like Luke Young and Jordan Davis. You know, I can't help but feel like I want them to succeed, and I want them to be in the lineup, and I want them to play. But of course, you know, we only have 11 spots, and. You know, I felt for sure that Young was going to come back into the lineup after he has maybe those one or two games of rest, because he had started like every game before then. And, you know, he played so many minutes. And so I'm thinking to myself, he's going to come back. But then Cannon was just playing so well. I mean, I think that, you know, Parkey just felt he couldn't take him out. And I mean, I'm sure that probably is also kind of a reflection of the way that training was going as well, that, you know, probably Cannon was probably incredible in training as well. But I don't know. Part of me also feels that, you know, with regards to Young and maybe some of this for Young, I'm sure he wants to play. I think that's I think that's where I sympathize with him. And so if he feels like he really wants to play and he cannot get playing time with Wrexham, I would sort of, you know, I would totally understand, and I would sort of bless wherever he goes and just kind of root for him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I also realize that, you know, you never know with, you know, the way our squad is. I mean, you know, players get injuries all the time. Players get off-season injuries, you know, even in training. And so, you know, who's to say that, you know, and I'm saying that, you know, that we should, you know, but who knows who's going to get injured. And, you know, maybe it'd still be useful to have Young, and maybe he will still get significant playing time, even that. And as you know, we also have, you know, a bunch of, we have, you know, Papa John's, we have, You know, we have Carabao and, you know, all the other cup positions, you know, competitions. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, Parky will find a way to give him time if that's what he wants, you know, obviously in those things. So, but yeah, my heart breaks in a sense. Yeah. It's kind of, I don't want to see him in other, you know, any other shirt than a Wrexham shirt.
No, definitely. Andy, does Luke Young get in your starting lineup?
I think it was after the Oldham game. I was around the other side and he was standing there with his rucksack like he's a kid coming off school. You've seen them there. They're quite funny, aren't they, with their rucksacks? So, and he looked quite forlorn, actually, and didn't know really what to say to him. I just in the end, I said, "You're right, mate." But he didn't look that happy, I must admit. I think he's met his Waterloo with the players coming in now. I think it's going to be difficult for him to get back in. I think he's going to have to be making his mind up about if he really does want to stay with Wrexham or not. Yeah. If he's happy to play in Papa John's, wherever. And to be honest, there's only four games in that in the group stages. And if you do go further, then you do go further. But there's not that many. I did see a rumour that the reserves are going to be abolished and then they're just going to get to under 21s. I don't know if that's true or not. Because let's be honest, the reserves didn't really do much this season.
No.
It didn't really happen, did it, really?
No.
So there might be lack of time for him. Other National League teams would love him.
Yes.
I think he'd do a great, great job. He's a great player. We love him. We all love him.
Yeah.
He's been player of a season twice since we've had him, 5-6 years since he's been here. So, he's got, we all really do love him. It's a case of, let's look at what he was last season. Cannon came in, but they're slightly different players as well. Cannon's quite short passing. Luke does like the longer passing. I think we missed his corners.
Yeah.
I don't think Elliot Lee was as good at corners as Luke. Luke's corners were superb.
No. Yeah.
So there are things we'll miss about him. And he's so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
He's a really great guy. I don't know why we all love him. And as you say, it would be a shame to see him go, but I just can't see him getting in the team there.
No.
So I've made it uncomfortable for you, Sian, talking about Luke Young and whether he gets in the team.
Yeah.
So I thought it was only fair to make it a little bit more uncomfortable for me as well. Just to balance everything out.
Yeah.
And the second player I want to discuss is Aaron Hayden.
Oh.
As you well know, amazing player. I was a defender myself, so he's one of my...
I'm not sure you've mentioned that.
I have, yes, I have. He's definitely one of my favourite players. I think he's brilliant. I think the attacking presence he brings from corners, I think he's brilliant. Great player.
Shiny legs.
Yes, as you call him. Now, two seasons in a row. We've lost him for the last 3 months of the year. How much of a worry is that?
I think it is a worry because what's saying he, the same thing doesn't happen this season, next season. It's a risky business. It's a risky business.
We've lost him for over the 2 years. We've lost him for 6 months of the season. Darren, how do you sort of feel about Aaron Hayden? Obviously losing him for 3 months of two seasons in a row. For you, is that a concern?
I think you have to take it in consideration the fact that he hasn't played for a good portion of the last two seasons. I think the fact that we have Owen O'Connell, I think it sort of mitigates against that a little bit because we know that we have somebody who can step in very easily. And obviously we have Max as well, who I really like Max as well. And I think he's a great young player who needs to get time. You know, so, I mean, I feel like, you know, the fact that I guess the question is whether or not, given Hayden's injury history, whether it's felt that we need to manage his time better. You know, maybe give him more rest, maybe use him as a sub. I mean, having Hayden as a sub, at 60th minute or so with his height, in the box. I mean, I think that would be a great kind of, plus, if we're trying to fight for a goal, in that last third of the game. But I mean, that would be my question, is whether we have to manage Hayden's time a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's, I guess, Parky. I'm glad it's Parky's decision, not mine.
Yeah.
Andy, so you've got, if we continue with the three at the back, who are your three starting centre halves? Who do you think starts?
It's difficult. Hayden is such a good guy, isn't he? Such a good player. There have been two different injuries, though. I think it was hamstring 2 years ago. It was calf this season.
Yeah.
So there are two different injuries. And the season before that, he played the full season with Carlisle. So maybe he's just a bit unlucky. And let's be honest, he does jump like a salmon for those set pieces. We really do miss him. I think we really did miss him from an attacking point of view. And he's never really let us down in defence, has he? Let's be honest about it.
No.
Maybe Tunnicliffe goes out. Maybe it's Hayden, O'Connell and Tozer. Because you do get injuries. You know?
Yeah.
Tozer's been really lucky over the last few seasons.
Yeah.
If he has an injury, who's going to be in the middle there?
Yeah.
It could well be Hayden or O'Connell and then one or the other on the right-hand side and Tunnicliffe on the left.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a lot we need from Hayden.
Yeah.
I think hopefully he's just been unlucky with injuries and we'll see a lot more of him this season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, I just want to say thank you very much to the pair of you for coming on. It's been brilliant to get some insight from two very different fans. And it's been great. And for the very first time that we've done this, I don't think we could have picked two better people, to be perfectly honest. You've both been brilliant. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having us. Much appreciated. Look forward to seeing you next season.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So we've had loads of fun doing that this week. It was really good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're going to get a lot more people on, a lot more conversations.
Yep.
It was loads of fun. So we will see you again next week.
Bye.